You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:40pm with Mick Norton, Craig Forsyth and Lord John Budden in the studio. It's Old Roan Chase Day, Aintree. Good racing to look forward to there. We also have National Hunt action at Wincanton. There's jumping in Ireland as well from Galway and the final race on the flat at Leopardstown as well on Sunday. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio, it's Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
Hello, Mark Walton. I am thrilled to bits to be in an enclosed space with you. And that goes without saying, doesn't it, my good man?
It does. Most people would be.
Thrilled to bits? Yeah. It really is on many people's bucket lists in life. You know, swim with dolphins, see the Grand Canyon, skydive, sit in a studio with Mark Walton for 20 minutes. I know it's on my list. Well, it's not anymore because I've crossed it off many a time.
Yep.
So here we are again. In fact, if anything, I'm getting bored of it. it is good to be here. It's the clock's going back this weekend as well. So sorry if I'm feeling a bit maudlin.
Maudlin.
Yeah. Exactly. But that seasonal affective disorder is going to kick in any second.
I remember this from last year. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it.
You love being depressed.
I love sitting at home going, it's dark in it. I might go back to bed. No, it's good, yeah. Well, it's all right. I've got myself a light box.
All right.
Yeah. It's actually quite good. Although, my advice is don't leave it on and then go out in the evening, because when you come back, it looks like you're doing scientific experiments in your bedroom from the outside of your house. Right. Plenty of advice. There's loads of it. The things you learn on this podcast.
I'm stunned with the advice.
The things you learn on this podcast, yeah. Mark.
It's very British, though, isn't it, when it gets to this time of year, when you're sat at home, oh, it's dark early now, isn't it?
Well, it's dark in the morning, it's dark in the evening, it's grey in the afternoon. I can't help but feel, it's not true at all, but if I was in California, I would get so much more done. It'd be great, wouldn't it? You can imagine waking up every day, opening the curtains and going, it's sunny again.
Yeah.
Get so much done.
Do you think they're the same? Sunny again, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. They're probably, God, wish it had rained. So hot. I'm sick of it. Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you're a human, Mark, you'll find a way to get tired of anything, regardless of how good. So
let's move on.
It's a very positive start, isn't it?
It is.
The podcast.
I came in here full of the joys of the jump season returning. We've got Aintree on Sunday and we've just had two fixtures at Cheltenham. I was like, yeah, jumping's back. I'm really excited. And you've knocked it out on me.
I just like to... We don't want to go too crazy too early, is what I've found. That's advice for most things, I find.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to ramp it up. Okay, right then, Mark. What we got? What do you want to talk about, buddy?
Well, we're going to come on to Leopardstown and Aintree in a moment or two. Before we get to that, we were just talking before we came on air here, and you've got some to follow from Friday's action, so we might as well start with those.
Yeah, it's not... Well, I suppose they are to follow, but it's not necessarily to... I think most people have put them in their tracker anyway, as it were. They're quite obvious. But it's coming towards the end of the flat season, and it's always worth remembering these horses because a lot of people will switch off their brains at this point and they'll go, oh, what's that? What was that? Was that really impressive? That kind of horse. So we had a few yesterday. We had one at Doncaster called Royal Artillery, who looks a definite Guineas chance. A big strapping colt by Warfront. He was so big, I thought he was actually going to have two stalls to himself. He was backed into even money favourite. He won by 2.5 lengths, but every single moment of that race was all about him. Frankie, he knew he'd won. It was a case of if he gets out of the stalls, he's won. And he bolted up, and it was very, very impressive. So I think Royal Artillery is going to be a very nice horse for the start of next season. And owned by John Magny in the company of John Gosden as well, which is a rare combination.
Yeah.
I think the most impressive win of the day was Midterm in the 2:25 at Newbury. Colt out of midday, who of course was run up in the Oaks, multiple Group 1 winner. The thing with Newbury was you wanted to beat middle to far side, low draws were dominating all day at Newbury. Midterm came all the way down this near side rail, had one slight crack of the whip. It was hands and heels all the way on its debut for Sir Michael Stout, whose horse has always come on for a run, and it won by a length completely away from the field. It did it all its own running. It was so much went against it, and it won with ease. So I think that the Derby has got to be a massive consideration for Midterm next season. So you could, it's not out of the question that you saw a Guineas and a Derby winner on a quiet Friday at the back
end
of the season.
You wouldn't expect that, would you?
And then at Wolverhampton last night as well, we had a horse called Tathkeef, who's very much bred for artificial services or dirt or wherever you want to go with him. A colt by Tappet, who again was backed from even money into 4-9 favourite, fell out of the stalls, had to be rousted along, found himself behind horses, got kicked back in his face, then had to be switched out, went four wide round every bend, was keen, was fresh, didn't know what he was doing, turned into the home straight and bolted up. So yeah, John Gosden again. We just had some really nice performances, and completely different types, obviously, to what you've seen for most of the season. Backward yep. types who've suddenly come into their own. So yeah, I thought that was very interesting indeed.
Just looking through the Derby betting with regards to Midterm, he's 20-1.
Yeah, it's not the worst. Wouldn't be the worst bet you've ever had. It's not often I get excited about performances like that. I tend to take things more day to day, but I thought that was a massive run.
All right, nice. Have you taken any notice of the jumping yet? Did you see much of the action at Cheltenham yesterday?
I saw all the action at Cheltenham, yeah, but it's quite hard to take it in, I thought. Again, I'm not quite in that mode. I thought QE ran a nice race over fences for the first time against two much more experienced rivals. And I thought Vicente as well ran a nice race over fences as well in the 3:55, but he just didn't jump as well as the rest. Yeah. But I think with experience, he'd be an RSA hope in time.
All right.
And you liked the way Mr. Shantou went about his...
Mr. Shantou was my nap yesterday. And
was he?
Yeah.
Oh, right, that's why.
He got hampered by a faller and then a horse that was brought down in the same kind of incident.
He looked
miles away from the rest of them.
Yeah, he looked like that was it for his race. He was just going to coast around and come home and another day would be...
But he just travelled back into the race very well, quickened over the last and just... Unfortunately, got done by Dark Spirit on the running. But if that interference didn't happen, he must have gone close to winning that race.
Yeah, if anything, he probably hit the front too soon because his jockey probably thought, oh, "Crikey, you know, I never thought I'd get in back involved here, but we could win this."
The way he sauntered back into the race was very impressive.
But the energy used to get there was obviously the problem, and Dark Spirit picked him up. So yeah,
what did you make of Pinglai Pavilion as well?
Yeah, liked it, although. I do think he got the run of the race. His two Irish rivals, one of them made all the running and probably did a bit too much and faded, didn't get up the hill. The other one ran an absolute stinker. So don't think he beat a lot, but he did it impressively at the very least.
He's 20-1 for the Neptune at the moment. If memory serves me correctly, I think we went 25 straight after the race, so maybe there's just been a little bit of a nibble on him over the last day or so.
But yeah, to be fair, there was quite, like I said, I would take QE and Vicente out, the two horses making their chasing debuts who are very talented hurdlers and whose novice jumping let them down. But both of them look like they might win. Excuse me, before being outstayed by more experienced rivals.
All right, well, let's leave that there. This is a little bit of a look back, and let's look ahead to Sunday's action. Ross is going to look at three races for us at Aintree, including the Old Roan Chase, and a very big handicap at Leopardstown as well. So good luck with that one, Ross, but we'll move on to that in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, we'll start with the action at Leopardstown, the big... handicap that we've got there. It's at 3:20. It's the November handicap over a mile and 7 furlongs. 26 runners, in fact 23 runners in the field, and just spinning through the betting as it stands at the moment. 8-1 for Modem. Degenta is 9-1. 10-1 for Zafayan. Silver Concord 10s with Heartbreak City. Sister Cartage 10-1 as well with McNicholson, who is a reserve at this point. 11-1 for Pyromaniac and Golden Spear, and 12s or bigger for the others. Not the easiest puzzle to solve here, Ross. Have you found something that you like in there?
Well, and also the fact that there's not going to be many of these handicaps left to the winter, so I'm just enjoying them while they last.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I do. I like Heartbreak City, who I also liked for the Cesarewitch 2 weeks ago. But that was... the Cesarewitch was his first run since August, where he bolted up at York. Now, he was very weak in the market that day. I get the feeling he might well have needed the run, and it was relatively well known that he needed the run. But at one point, I thought, he's definitely going to get involved here. Bearing in mind the Cesarewitch is 2 miles and 2 furlongs, at the 2 mile point, he was travelling just as good as anything else. And I thought he was definitely going to take a hand in the finish. He ended up finishing 18th. He faded to finish mid-division. But he's dropping back in trip. He's going to be fit and well. He'll definitely come on for that run. Yeah, and I like I said, he caught my eye with the way he went about it. But I get the feeling, while the Cesarewitch might have been the aim at the time, he probably wasn't ready for it, or he might have had a setback or something, because he was weak in the market and he faded quite tamely, which he hadn't done at York. He was strong in the market that day and stayed on very takingly to the death. So I think with that run under his belt, Heartbreak said he's very interesting. So yeah, he'd be my selection in the November handicap at Leopardstown.
He's got a pretty strong hand as well, hasn't he, Tony Martin, in the race. He's also got Pyromaniac and
Golden Spear.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a good race. I would be most worried about Modem, who was ex-Rod Millman. The Millmans sold him at the sales last year, and he's improved for Jessica Harrington in no uncertain terms, both on the flat and over hurdles. He's not really run a bad race all season. He's won his last two starts over jumps, but he was very, very game at Galway back in July, and he's still off a very workable handicap, Mark.
All right, but you're going for Heartbreak City.
Heartbreak City, yeah.
All right, let's move on to the action at Aintree then. We're going to go through three races there, starting in the 155, which is a conditional jockey's handicap hurdle over 3 miles and nearly 3 miles and 1 furlong, isn't it? Where do you want to start in here, Ross?
Well, there's a couple of interesting horses. One is Sykes, who's likely to race for Philip Hobbs, who won at Worcester in pretty impressive fashion. And then he travelled all over his rivals at Newton Abbott last time out. But he got beaten by a fit horse who just had a little bit extra in the running. It was his first run for a year. I think he'll definitely come on for that. But I think the each-way play would be Cowslip for George Moore and Ryan Day. George Moore's horses are in good nick. And she was a good horse last year, Cowslip. She really improved. She ran a couple of really nice races here at Aintree over this course and distance. She finished placed on both those occasions. This kind of track suits her down to the ground. Hexham last time out, I don't think suited her at all. However, she made a massive move up the hill. She came from sort of second last into to third or fourth. She didn't quite get home, but she finished fifth in a good race. I think that will bring her on. And she returns to a race that is very much up her street. So I think Cowslip would be each way, but I think Sykes is probably the one to beat if he does find anything off the bridle, which he didn't last time out.
Right. How would you play them? Would you go each way, or would you just go with Sykes to win it?
No, each way Cowslip. Definitely Cowslip.
You're going Cowslip.
Cowslip each way, yeah. Definitely the bet.
Okay, Cowslip each way then for Ross there. Then the 3 o'clock at Aintree is where we go next. This is a Class 2 handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. We have a field of 9 to go to post here, and we could start with Working Progress, who has a penalty to defy after bolting up at Kempton on reappearance.
Yeah, and he very much is Work in Progress. He looked pretty weak and inexperienced in juvenile races last season. But he came back with a bang at Kempton last time out. Now, he didn't beat much. He was well-backed. It was a bit of a farcical race in terms of actual horses to take out of it. I mean, Work in Progress was sent off 8-11. The second favourite was 3-1 and finished tailed off. Then the horse who finished second was 11-2, and everything else was 20s, 25s, 33s. There's no strength in depth. And the worry would be he's carrying a penalty, and this is a better race. Got some nice horses in here, but I think Pine Creek could be the alternative for John Ferguson. Now, I've never thought he was necessarily as good as some people did. He got well backed in some good races last season, but he ran a blinder at Ascot behind Bayan last December, and then he came back in soft ground after a few months off, and he didn't really get involved. The worry would be if it went particularly soft, but I think good ground at Aintree is absolutely perfect for him. I like Ferguson horses fresh. I think the track is very much up his street. And I think that he's going to return off a nice mark here. So a few of these are going to need the run, and a few of them maybe aren't quite up to it. So I think Pine Creek's another each-way alternative at Aintree.
Pine Creek each way then for us in that race. And the big race of the afternoon at Aintree is the 3:30. This is the Moniz Garden Old Roan Chase, a Grade 2 limited handicap over almost 2.5 miles. We do have betting out already as well. Sound Investment at the head of the market at 5-1. 6-1 for Bywise, Rajdhani Express 13-2, 7-1 for John Spirit and Le Bacardi, 8-1 for Wishful Thinking, last year's winner. Duke of Navan also 8s and 11s or bigger for the others. This is a good jumps race, Ross. There's some nice horses in there.
Yeah. Tough to call, though. It always is at the start of the season. You're having to fill in a few gaps, that's for sure. But we've had some good horses win this over the past few years. In terms of where to side, my heart is screaming Bywise because I've just followed him. He's one of those horses I hate to love. And I also love to hate. He finished fifth last time out here at this track behind Duke of Lucca in a very strong race at the Grand National meeting. The problem with Bywise is he's held up at the back. He doesn't particularly jump very well. He's his own worst enemy. That is the worry for Bywise. So the heart is screaming Bywise. The head is screaming John Spirit. Now, in contrast to most of John Joe O'Neill's horses, he actually does come to hand quite early. I mean, he ended last season running in Grade 1 races and performing with the utmost credit as well. He was beaten 30 lengths behind Don Cossack here at Aintree, but I don't think he's that bad a run, really. He's dropping back into a limited handicap. I know it's a Grade 2, but it's a real drop in grade here. He's up against some inferior horses in comparison to what he's been contesting. You've got Sound Investment and horses like that on the up, but I think John Spirit he comes to hand early. This is just so much easier for him. And again, he's had a couple of spins around the track as well. He's probably better at Cheltenham. But I certainly don't think he's any back number here. So, Bywise is still niggling me a little bit, but I'll probably go with John Spirit.
All right. John Spirit improved so much over the last couple of years, and he always starts the season well, winning that race on the opening meeting of Cheltenham, then goes to the Paddy Power, runs well there, and he's just improved into a graded horse now, hasn't he, probably back in the last season.
Yeah, he's a strong traveller, he's a good jumper. He's not Grade 1 class, so that's the problem. He's in that middle ground, but there's going to be a couple of races like this year. If he can win this, hit the frame in a couple of Grade 1s, I think Connections will be pretty happy. So he's certainly got the ability and the conditions to go close.
Okay, let's have a little bit of a summary then, Ross, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time for Sunday.
Yeah, the big race at Leopardstown, the November handicap, will go with Heartbreak City. Cowslip in the 1:55 at Aintree, Pine Creek in the 3:00 at Aintree, and John Spirit in the 3:30.
Good work, thank you very much, Ross. Good luck and enjoy on Sunday.
You too, Mark, you too.
There you go, the thoughts of Ross Brierley on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:40 p.m. Mick Norton, Craig Forsyth and Lord John Bunning will be the team in the studio. We've got this very good card at Aintree. We've also got jumping from Wincanton on the domestic front, National Racing at Galway over in Ireland, and racing on the flat at Leopardstown. Good day of racing to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.